A very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's program. I'm with you right through until 12 midday today, and you're welcome in to the program. Some of the texts coming in, by the way, and thank you for them today. Keith, I'm over here in Cabo Roig in Spain, listening to Galway Talks. That has been part of the daily diet for me for many long years. I simply want to say thank you for the many great memories, as nobody knew things Galway better than the bold Finnegan. We're going to miss you, old stock. So smart and Quinn to the program today. There you go. And other calls coming into us today on the programme as well. There's somebody trying to ring us in on the on-air line there on the 086-38-33-55-3. Unfortunately, you can't ring in on it. It's there for a reason. But again, if you've got an issue, you call reception there, please, on 091-770-077 and do so straight away, please. Now, tentative plans to amalgamate the dioceses of Galway, Tuam, Clonfert, Conwy, Killala and Elphin are on the table. And again, Pope Francis, again, has put this together. But I'm joined on the line by Archbishop Francis Duffy, who joins me from the Tuam Diocese, and he joins me on the line today. Archbishop, good morning to you. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good morning, Keith. Very good, very good.
Thanks for joining us today on the programme. Can I ask you, how did Pope Francis take such an interest in Ireland? Is it the drop in vocations and perhaps the difficulty in managing various dioceses?
Well, Pope Francis, I think, is interested in all aspects of the church everywhere. But just to mention what happened in Tuam yesterday, the Apostolic Nuncio came and he made announcements. And one of the announcements was that Bishop John Fleming is retiring,
yeah,
and or has retired now, and the Pope has appointed myself as Apostolic Administrator of Killala, and also he announced that Bishop Paul Dempsey of Aconry is moving to Dublin, and he has appointed Bishop Kevin Dorn as Apostolic Administrator there of Aconry. So they were the two announcements that were made in Tuam yesterday. So there was no mention whatever of amalgamating or uniting six dioceses. That was never mentioned at all.
Okay, so I mean that's what's in, I suppose that's in the ether out there today. How can you see it? How can you see it continuing? I mean, Bishop John Fleming, indeed, no more than many others, has very strong Galway links, I have to say. And but how can this pan out, Archbishop?
Well, what will happen is that the two, Killala and the Conwy, they will each have an apostolic administrator who will be the pastor, the administrator of the diocese, and they will work. You have, for example, Tuam and Killala working together with myself as Bishop of Tuam and then as apostolic administrator of Killala. So there'll be an amount of cooperation. My first job will be to get to know Killala. And then there will be a lot of planning and discussion and listening, cooperating. So I think that will be a feature of Killala and also of Aconry for the next while. He also mentioned Bishop Michael Dignan. And Bishop Michael Dignan is similar in some respects, but very different in other respects. Bishop Michael Dignan is the Bishop of Galway, and he is also the Bishop of Clonfert.
That's right.
And those are two separate dioceses. So there are similarities in the sense that one bishop is pastorally looking after two separate dioceses, but they're also different than what was announced yesterday.
Absolutely, and it's working well now. Is Bishop Michael Dignan? I was only talking to him this morning, actually. But I mean, there's a huge amount of work in it, so there needs to be a network of support for ye as bishops in the background, because you nearly want a helicopter to get around the Galway Clonfert diocese.
Yes, there's a lot of travel involved, and for Bishop Dorn and myself, there will be extra travel involved because the territory that we will be looking after has expanded, and that is a fact. But there are good supports in each diocese, and as well as that, the bishops of the Western Province, that's the Tuam Province, the bishops have always been cooperating. We meet several times a year. We travel around each other's places and we have meetings. We discuss a lot. So certainly in the Western Province, there has been a lot of cooperation and support, mutual support and networking by the bishops. And I think that will certainly help us a lot in the years to come.
So, I mean, the added workload that you get and the added workload, indeed, that your colleague gets as well, I mean, is that managing the diocese, as in the priest who's where, a retiring priest, perhaps, and drawing up a schedule? Because we know from going to Mass that we're not going to be having a Mass in a couple of years' time in every parish twice every weekend. That's the way life has gone.
Well, the bishop, yes, is responsible for the general administration and management of the diocese. But the details in each parish, that is worked out generally by the priest and the parish pastoral council, or it could be a number of parishes coming together to look at their needs and how can they best address those needs cooperating together. So that usually is decided at a local level.
Yeah.
And then at a kind of a more general level, the bishop is involved in managing all various aspects of the diocese. So there is a lot of administration and management, also a lot of leadership as well, because it's important to be out and about and to meet people and to meet priests and to listen to what the concerns are of the time.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of property, a lot of maintenance, a lot of upkeep, a lot of decisions have to be made there as well.
Yes, well, that again, the property belongs to the parish, so the Catholic parish, so that's an issue that is addressed at local level, although it is vested in trust, but that is the property of a parish, yes.
Did it come as a shock to you when the Papal Nuncio informed you that he was coming to Tuam to make these announcements?
Not, it wasn't a shock because there has been a lot of talk for a number of years about changes because the church is meant to respond to the signs of the times, and I think that's what has been happening. We have certainly, as you know, a decline, as you mentioned, a decline in the number of clergy and in vocations. We have a decline in the practice rate, so resources are getting limited in all areas, and so you have to respond to that. And certainly for a number of years there has been discussion nationally and locally about how this can be best addressed. And the idea of having fewer dioceses in Ireland certainly was mentioned, and realigning the diocese. So that was in the ether and that was out there. So it has come that there will be a reconfiguration of dioceses in the West, certainly, yes.
And it does make sense. I mean, but it's not every day the Papal Nuncio pops in for a cup of tea to make an announcement for you.
No, not every day, fortunately.
I actually spent some time with the former Papal Nuncio to Ireland. I spent some time with him last year in the States. And what an absolute gentleman of gentlemen. And he said Mass in an amphitheatre with 10,000 people there in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And he wasn't even slightly fazed, but He loved the time that he spent in Ireland and spoke very friendly about it, and we're still talking to each other back and forth, so we are. But just, you know, when
was
you think...
Was this Archbishop Brown?
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Yes, he liked Ireland a lot.
No, sorry, the former Papal Nuncio to Ireland, his name just escapes me.
Archbishop Colo?
Yes, that was he indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the name went out of my head for a minute. But again, he spoke very fondly of Ireland and how he was reared by Irish priests and by Irish nuns and educated by them and all of that. He had very deep, deep love of Ireland. And
oh yes, he had. He was here in Tuam when I was announced as Archbishop in November 21. And yes, he got around the country a lot. He liked Ireland.
He did. Thank you so much for joining us today. Archbishop Francis Duffy, good morning to you, and thanks for taking our call this morning. Clarifying that, by the way, as well, because I read that wrong as well. Good morning, Keith. This caller said, I want to thank you for all the work since the birth of GBFM. You were always very encouraging to me in many areas. You will be missed, but no doubt you won't be leaving the airwaves altogether. Best of luck, Mike Gertie. It's kind of my intention to leave the airwaves altogether tomorrow morning. Keith, could you find out the immigration figures? Lots of our people are leaving, and mostly qualified people, and could you please find out what the figures are? Keith, I was only an odd listener until the dreaded COVID came, and I tuned in every morning, and ever since. You've always put the listeners at ease, and just want to say best of luck in your future endeavours. You will be missed. John will be grand, no offence to him, but he won't be a Keith Finnegan. Thanks and God bless. Listen, he's morphed into a small Keith Finnegan, so he is. Absolutely. Got same haircut. The whole lot, he'd be grand. He'd be 100%. Another caller Stewart said, on behalf of the committee and supporters of the Galway against Salmon Cages, I'd like to thank you, Keith, and the staff at Galway BFM for all the coverage that you've given us over the last number of years. And we wish you well in whatever venture you're about to embark on. All the best, Billy Smith. And they're just coming in there. Keith has called, said, church properties belong to the church, not the parish. That was my take on it, by the way. That's what I understood from there. And many other calls coming in there as well. Quick commercial break. We're back just after these.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. The comment lines are all open if you want to get through to us today. We'd like to hear from you on this Thursday morning. But I want to go to Dave O'Connell, who joins me on the line, because Connacht Tribune is out since early morning and loads within it, by the way. Loads of picks as well in it today. But Dave, your lead story is on a big win for students in their fight against a massive hike in rent. Massive is nearly an understatement. Morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. This is I can't believe this is the last time we'll be going through the Connacht Tribune headlines. I'll have to ring you next week and we'll go through them at home after all of this. But anyway, no, it would have been an absolutely massive 30%, 2,500 euro increase in this. We're talking specifically about Hubble Living. It's on the Headford Road. People will probably know it better under its former name, Court na Corriba. But the owners had announced this plan to hike up accommodations costs by up to 30% next year. But I have to say, on foot of a really well-run campaign by the University of Galway Students' Union, Hubble have pulled back from that and they will now increase fees by just 2% next year, and that's a whole lot better, as I say, than the minimum 2.5 grand increase that was on the cards. So good news for the students, and I dare I say good news for parents as well, and that's on the front and it's inside too.
We were talking about it yesterday with Dean Kenny, so we were from University of Galway, and I asked him, how in the name of God can parents afford that type of money on a monthly basis? Really and truly, it must stretch an awful lot of family budgets. Come here, you have a well-known Galway woman who will mark her 90th birthday with a parachute jump. Isn't she so brave?
Brave is one word. Nuts might be another word. But you know what? Lelia Doolin has been a combination of both, perhaps, and I mean that in the nicest way, for all of her 90 years. It's her first ever skydive. But you know what? I wouldn't suggest for a minute that it won't be her last. It's for a very good cause as well, because the money that she's raising will go to Médecins Sans Frontières. Already there's over 8,000 in the kitty, and I'd say there'll be a lot more in that. Now, I think most people know who Lelia is, but for those that don't, she was, I suppose, best described as a pioneering producer and a manager with RTE during kind of its formative years and well after that. More recently known here through the Galway Film Flav, which she helped to found, the Palace Cinema. And her sense of adventure shows no signs of diminishing. Even the quotes in this I love. She says, talking to Denise McNamara, she says, "I'll be attached to what I hope is a good big lad. If I break some bones, now that would be stupid. I want to be ready for the party." And she also said that her brother Paddy in France, who I'd say is exasperated with all of this, but he thinks that she should be practicing in the meantime by jumping up and down off the bed. Anyway, I'd say, knowing Lelia, she'll probably actually fly. She won't have a parachute. She'll fly on the way down, but the story on that is on page 3.
Paddy, I can tell you she's safer off in the air, so she is, than jumping up and down the bed, so she is. Do you know who I feel for there? The co-pilot, because Lelia, and I love her to bits and pieces, but she loves to talk, so she does. And
I think he will find there's a different way and a better way of flying the plane by the time that he comes back down, is probably how it'll turn out.
I just love Lelia, so I do, really and truly, and good luck with it. And yeah. Esker has said goodbye to his last Ukrainians. That's a positive story as well.
Well, it is, and it's been a positive story from the start. So positive, in fact, that they're known to the group out there as the Eskranians, because they, just from the very start, there was a level of integration, level of friendliness, and a kind of a shared space between the visitors, and at one stage there were up to 150 of them, and the locals, and a wonderful group called CURV, the Committee of Ukrainian Residents and Volunteers in Esker, who smoothed every part of this journey from the day that they arrived back in July 2022 and up to now, because they're now down to about 30 and they will go to other accommodation at the weekend. And they had a lovely send off, and we go through a little bit of the history of the many, many positive events that were organised together. The piece was actually written by two of the stalwarts of CURV, Magello O'D and the chairperson Mairead Seary, and it really shows how positive an experience from everybody's perspective something that was truly awful can be.
Absolutely. Now, big weekend for Galway Camogie.
Yeah, looking to enter the Camogie record books at Croke Park on Sunday if they make it a hat-trick of National League titles. It's their fourth league final appearance on the trot. Cathal Murray's team seeking to secure an eighth title if they see off Tipperary. Plenty of coverage as well in sport of the footballers' easy win in London. Galway United's away trip to Waterford this weekend. Corrib Celtic winning their first ever Connacht Senior Women's Cup. Connacht Rugby back on track. And a big Grand Prix win for Turlochmore show jumper Michael Duffy in there as well, so plenty in the sports page.
Now, what else have you got though in today's bumper kind of shooting?
Yeah, loads in there, Keith. A really thought provoking, and what I would say about a happy and a sad piece written by Fergus Kennedy, a man from Loughrea now living in Singapore. And it's all about how somebody who is clearly a very clever and ultimately successful man was made to feel, as he says, stupid in school because of dyslexia and ADHD that wasn't diagnosed until much more recently. Not that it's held him back since, because you can see that, but it's just, it's a very honest piece about how he carried this humiliation that he suffered from teachers all of his life. So an interesting piece that, other than that, a long piece with Francis Egan, Galway resident of over 40 years and now the national president of the Pioneer Total Abstinence Association. People may know her. She worked in Leiden House as a baker for many years, but she's the first female president in the Pioneer's 125-year history, an anniversary they celebrate this year. Apart from that, plenty of political coverage from the runners and riders in the local and European elections to the Fine Gael and the disappointment in Galway after the cabinet reshuffle, and as you say, loads more in there as well, Keith.
Wonderful. Come here to me. What are you doing tomorrow? Will you pop in tomorrow morning? I need a bodyguard tomorrow morning.
Well, you're looking to the wrong man, because I may be throwing the stones at you rather than saving you from them. But I'll certainly be there, and whenever I see a mob gathering, I'll always be there to help them out with it. Now, I'm looking forward to it. One last dance in studio with you, so we'll certainly see you in person tomorrow.
Talk to you then. Mind yourself. Thanks, Dave, for joining us today on the programme. Aileen Anderson sits opposite me today. Can I bring you right into that microphone there altogether? Aileen Anderson, thank you indeed. And we're looking at Cystic Fibrosis Ireland ahead of the 65 Roses Day, which is taking place tomorrow, the 12th of April as well. You're a townie, you're living in the city, so you are, but you were born, you were telling me, in Scotland.
Yeah, well, I've been here for most of my life. I was born in Scotland and I moved to Galway when I was three.
So wow.
Pretty much from here.
When were you diagnosed with cystic fibrosis?
I was also diagnosed when I was about 3.5, which is actually considered late for a CF diagnosis. Yeah, they test babies straight away nowadays, but before then they didn't have the CF genetic testing when I was born, so.
And you just moved to Ireland. Do you remember coming to Ireland?
Vaguely? Don't really, vaguely. That's bits okay. And pieces.
Yeah, yeah. But you're a townie now, so you're living in Galway City.
Yeah.
So it must have been a huge shock to your parents then when the diagnosis came in at 3.5 that you had cystic fibrosis, because and we never ask a lady your age at all, but back then, there wasn't the treatment that there is now, and many people fought to get that treatment for CF.
Yeah, it took a long, long time, lots of campaigning, and yeah.
Think of Mary Lane Heenahan now today,
yes,
and the work that she did. Like, she broke her heart, but she did so for the right reason.
Mary's great, yeah. She definitely puts a bomb under people in the best way, yeah.
Yeah, she really does, yeah, for whatever reason she but she can get people on board, which is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. We've had so many advancements in the last couple of years, and I've seen them myself. The new drugs and just treatment in general has been so positive.
And how's life for you, can I ask you?
I consider myself quite well for a person with CF, and I'm quite lucky that I can say that. I would have struggled a lot in school with chest infections and various different types of illnesses, but it didn't really hold me back in terms of keeping up with my friends and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So CF is a genetic inherited condition that primarily affects the lungs, but it can affect different areas of the body as well.
Outside of the lungs, it can affect other parts of the body.
Yeah, so not many people know that, and you would hear of lung transplants with CF, but 10% of people have liver involvement, so I have liver disease and I'm currently on the liver transplant list. And then other people have issues with digestion, pancreas problems, various other things. So it's quite multi-organ, really.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
And I thought I knew an awful lot about CF. So sincere apologies. I thought, so you're on a
There's
list.
There's a lot to learn.
You're on a list for transplant, for a liver transplant.
Yeah.
And a lung transplant?
No, my lungs are quite good. So my liver took the hit. Other people would need, or could need, lung transplants. Kidney transplants you hear of a little bit, not so much.
Mm.
Yeah, a few different things.
And again, can you lead a normal life now? Can you go about your life normally? Like, can you work? Can you exercise? Can you walk? Can you travel?
Yeah, I've never been held back in that department. I have stopped work recently just because I'm on the list and I'm restricted to an hour from my house, because if I get the call, everything is very quick moving and I get straight to the liver in time. But aside from that, I've been quite well. Yeah, I wouldn't really notice that I have it half the time.
So somebody else's tragedy is going to be your gift.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of a lot to get your head around, and I've only started thinking about it recently, but...
Don't think about it.
Yeah, okay.
Don't think about it. No, I think if you think
organ donation is a great thing as well.
It is. Organ donation is very special, so then we should all be carrying... I mean, I said to our crew at home, and I've signed organ donation, whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So whatever's worth taking out of me if I died suddenly, they can have. But I mean, I know of other people indeed who've had liver and other transplants as well, and the quality of life that they have is just superb.
Yeah, yeah.
So
now, hopefully we won't
that.
Hear of people with CF needing that as much with the new drugs and everything, because there's been a full turnaround.
Yeah, but it was a fight for those. I'm talking to Aileen Anderson, saying the fight for those drugs, and it was all down to the cost of the drugs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the people with CF didn't feature. It was the cost and where the government was going to get the money.
Yeah, so extortion of prices. Yeah.
And you know what? I think some of the people that create these drugs, you know, okay, there's research, there's all of that in it, and they have to cover costs and that. But like, there's cost and cost, so there is.
Yeah, yeah, lots of funds needed.
Yeah, like I'm on a drug currently now that's quite for psoriasis.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Humira, and I've had psoriasis since I was born, and I'm 62.
Yeah.
But I did nothing about it for the last 25 years, but I just had to, back in October, it just flared. But I'm on this Humira, and it's ridiculous price, so it's covered under the scheme that the government have, €80 a month. But it's madness, the cost of it, but it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I remember being in college and having one of the new CF drugs in my hand, and it went flying across the room, and I was just like, oh no, that's so much money, like after, I got it in the end, but
did you?
Yeah, it's just expensive drugs in my bag.
Could you imagine going back to the chemist and say, by the way, I lost that now, that's just fell out of window.
Like, so best luck, yeah.
And was college a normal life, yeah?
Yeah, I studied music up in Dublin, which was, I really enjoyed it. Came back during COVID because everything kind of locked down, but...
And did you drive them mad at home playing music?
No, I was never told to. I think singing, I did my degree through vocals, so singing helped my lungs hugely. And it's a big part of my life, definitely.
And can you perform now, can you?
Yeah, that's what I kind of do for a living, full-time.
Where do you perform?
Across Ireland. I teach with Music Generation, Galway City as well. So,
wow, lovely people, so they're...
Yeah. They're great,
lovely people. Can I get on to Cystic Fibrosis Ireland, 65 Roses Day. It's on tomorrow. So Galway Shopping Centre, Dun Stores, Briar Hill, Dun Stores, Edward Square, Dun Stores, Knocktacara, Dun Stores, Terryland, Dun Stores, Unit 14, Westside Shopping Centre, Tuam Shopping Centre, O'Malley's, Turlock, Rossmoke. You have them out there.
All the Dun Stores, yeah.
So what do you want them to do tomorrow? Do you want to buy the rose?
So we will have collection points across Ireland in different Dun Stores, shopping centres, and we'll be selling our little purple roses that you might have seen.
Yeah, yeah.
To help raise funds, basically, for people with cystic fibrosis, which is much needed now more than ever, for various different treatments, for things like transplant grants, fertility grants, exercise grants, counselling sessions, all those things, research as well, and then different hospital buildings that need funding.
And when you say transplant support, because you'll be out of work, you won't have any income, you'll have nothing.
Yeah, partly that, but then also, so for example, my transplant is taking place in the UK, actually in Cambridge. So there's a little bit of an extra cost involved, there's probably a lot. In terms of accommodation, post-transplant and accommodation for families and different things like that. Yeah.
So you live in Galway City.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be an hour away from the house.
Yeah.
So how will you get so quickly from Galway to Cambridge?
It was an area I was very stressed about. I was like, how are they going to get me there in time? But it's all so organised.
Fly you.
Yeah, so I'll be at my house, then I get picked up by an ambulance when I get the call, and it's straight jet plane to Cambridge, yeah.
From Shannon?
We don't actually fully know yet. Shannon doesn't open 24 hours.
It does.
Is that the one? Or Knock doesn't open 24
Knock
hours,
doesn't
I think.
Open 24 hours, yeah.
So it'll be Shannon or Dublin then. There you go. You
and
know more than me.
Private jet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very fancy.
Oh, how posh are
money,
you?
Money, money.
Yeah, and can somebody go with you?
Yeah, my mum and hopefully my boyfriend will get on the plane as well. Yeah.
Would you bring him?
It depends on his behaviour at the time. Hopefully, if we all fit, yeah.
What's his name?
James Coulihan.
James.
He has been in here before with his music.
He's one of the Coulihans.
Yeah, the Coulihans.
Right, Jacinta Elwood.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Frankie Coulihan.
Frankie.
I'm his biggest fan, yeah.
You're his biggest fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on, I'm in that place too, so I am, yeah. So that's who your boyfriend is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of music, yeah.
A lovely family.
Yeah, they're great.
I could see why you'd be attracted to another. See, the problem is now that he may not be able to go because he could have a gig.
Yes, this is the dilemma, yeah.
Yeah. We'll find someone to step in.
He's still a little bit restricted.
He's restricted, you're restricted.
So if he's not doing gigs, then
he's
gone.
With
me, yeah.
Isn't it great though to think that you have that logistics done from there, that you know what's going to happen?
Yeah, all the team in Cambridge and Vincent's in Dublin and Galway have been super, super good, yeah.
Mm, wow.
At Fulton.
It's a small world.
Yeah.
I know Jacinta and Dave for more than 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know Frankie's wife, Frankie's mother.
Yeah.
His grandmother, you know, they're
Galway is so small, yeah. Everybody knows everybody.
Excuse me, Aileen Anderson,
yes.
I'm so old.
I don't think so,
Let's
that's
get
not
this
the
right,
case.
No. But talented family.
Yeah, no.
Talented. So you have a job now to get done, you have to get the liver transplant.
Hopefully not too long, yeah.
You can't drink then or anything, can you?
No, I've never touched it, no.
You never touched it?
And I never knew the difference, to be honest.
So you're a good to go to a gig with him now. You're a good one to bring him home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't really make any difference, but
knowing him, he doesn't drink either.
No, he's good.
That's the way the family are. Listen, lovely to have you, and lovely to have you today with us. So
we're trying to
raise as much money as possible for cystic fibrosis. So volunteers will be out in force selling the Purple Rose in Galway, right across Galway Shopping Centre. Dunstores, Briar Hill, Dunstores, Edra Square, Dunstores, Knocktacarra, Dunstores, Terryland, Dunstores, Westside, Tune Shopping Centre, and they're going to be in O'Malley's, they're going to be in Turlock, they're going to be in Rossmoke, and hopefully they'll raise a lot of money.
Thank you, yeah. Thanks, Keith, for having me in.
Mind yourself, and good luck, and enjoy the spin, and enjoy the new liver when you get it.
I hate flying.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to get over that now, so you will. Thanks for joining
Thank
us, Aileen Anderson. Let's take a short commercial break and we're back just after these comment lines are all open.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. We're getting a lot of comments in today, by the way, and I'll try and give you some of them in a few minutes' time as well. Now, though, I want to go to Sarah Rorty, who joins me, because Action Tuam Entrepreneur Competition is about... Action Tuam are calling on people with new innovative ideas and those that have set up a business within the last 5 years to take action to compete in an exciting entrepreneur competition with a first place prize of €20,000. And Sarah Rorty sits up to me today. Sarah, when I read it last night, I saw €2,000. So I got it wrong altogether in my head.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, Keith. But I mean, it's a very important thing to support people who are at that early stage of business, you know. And I think Action Tuam, as you probably know yourself, were formed over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
When the sugar factory closed down. And at that time, I think the unemployment in Ireland was very high. It was about 17%. But with the closure of the sugar factory, one in three people were unemployed in Tuam. And I suppose the role of Action Tuam is to support enterprise, to promote entrepreneurs, and to kind of give them wraparound service.
But I remember that. Is it 30 years ago?
It's over 30 years. It closed down in 1987, and by 1989, Action Tuam was formed in response to that. So
the likes, I think Joe Burke was part of that.
Joe Burke, that's correct, yeah. A lot of good local people.
The likes of... Yeah. A gang of them that came together. I remember them coming together. Charles Lynch was part of that.
Yes, from the LEO. And in fact, the LEO are supporting us in this competition. I mean, as you say, Keith, you've been there for all of this. And I really just want to take the opportunity to thank you for your support of Tuam all over those years. I mean, if anyone ever asked for an interview, it was always a yes. So thank you so much for that. Now, saying that, you weren't one to shy away from the hard questions, put us under pressure when needed. But so just thank you, Keith, for your professionalism, your immense contribution to Galway life, and indeed your dedicated public service. Thank you.
No, thank you for that. I mean, Tuam was, in those days, was a challenge indeed. And I remember the work that was being done to try and pull it together. But now look at the success of Tuam. You just look at, you know, we can talk about the big names, but you can talk about the smaller Indigenous ones as well, and the work that's been done. And like even Larkin Engineering, if you take John Kincannon, if you take Super Value, if you take all that went on there, It's a thriving town. It's certainly
the fastest growing in the county. Very thriving town, I suppose, with the motorway there, with the high-speed broadband and all the infrastructure like the gas network and so on. It's really poised for growth, and it's really capitalising on all those investments over the years.
It is, and Sister Agnes and many of the other people there. Sister Agnes will be in daily contact with me, But I mean, when you see what has been achieved from humble beginnings, I have to say, after that period when the sugar factory closed, to what's been done now. And employment must be fairly high now.
Yeah, employment, but I think that's probably the case across Ireland, but certainly Tuam is really pushing ahead in many, many ways. I mean, as you say, you name some of those companies. We have Valeo there, who employ 1,400 people, you know, and have huge growth plans for the future. So it's the foreign direct investment plus the Indigenous. And as you say, it's not all about the big names. 80% of business is the small mom and pop, as they say, or the one or two people businesses. And they're the sort of people now we want to attract, who have a business idea, who maybe just started trading, and they really want to take their business to the next level.
I remember it was called Connacht Electronics, wasn't it, Valeo? I can see the face
of Joe McBreen.
I can see his face in my head now, starting that out then. I mean, it was such a big move at the time.
Yes, indeed, absolutely.
And Joe and his wife, is a wonderful poet.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, look at the history.
Well, hopefully now there's another Joe McBreen out there somewhere who's got an inkling of an idea.
That's what you're looking for now, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, as you say, there's two aspects. We're doing it in conjunction with the local enterprise office. Carla McDonough, the acting CEO there, has been extremely helpful. So we're looking for people who are within 20 kilometres of Tuam, who have a business idea, who've been trading for less than 5 years, to put in an application. Just email info@actiontuam.com. and put in an application before tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
So the clock is ticking on this one now.
Yeah, now we've got loads of entries. And you know what, Keith, quite unusual. Would you believe this? I would say 80%, maybe more, women. So the men, we're calling on the men now today to
call
step
them
it up.
Out now, yeah. So you can.
And indeed, not just, but also people, maybe some people who have made Ireland their home in recent years. You know yourself now, if you kind of go abroad, your eyes are open, maybe some of the restrictions or constraints that you felt at home have been lessened or aren't as relevant anymore. So if there are people out there who have made Ireland their home, we'd love to see some applications in from them.
And again, what is the timeline, time scale on this? So tomorrow evening it closes for
tomorrow evening the application process closes, and then on the 3rd of May there is a mentoring session. So everybody who enters and puts in an application will be invited to a speed mentoring. It's kind of like speed dating but without the romantic dinner at the end. So speed mentoring, we'll have a group of seasoned professionals, whether they're from retail, industry, marketing, finance, and you'll have an opportunity to really hone your idea and get some very strong professional advice. So there may be people, your listeners sitting at home now going, well, I have an idea, but I'm not really ready to enter a competition. Please do, because the 3rd of May is your chance to sit down and talk about your idea and get that advice from people who've been there, who are sector specific and know what your problems are or what your idea might be.
And do you know of some of these, you know, they have to put the application in themselves, but do you know of such companies that have started that haven't put in an application, that should put in an application? Don't tell me the names or otherwise, but are there people there?
Yeah, absolutely. So you look, You sit in the pub with people beside you, you walk into shops, you see them all. You see the local people who really maybe just don't have the courage of their convictions yet, or maybe are thinking, you know what, I'll bide my time in this. Please put in the application. It'll be well worth your while.
And is it open to artists? Is it open to
musicians? It's open across the
musicians,
board.
To whatever speciality you're in.
Yeah, 100%. And in fact, you know, I know you won't be here now in the future, but one of the key strategic initiatives of Action Tuam is to look at that creative industries sector. And over the next 3 to 5 years, we will be developing a whole suite of services and supports for people who are interested in that area.
In the art area?
In the creative technologies and creative industries.
Yeah. Because it is, I mean, it really is a very busy sector currently.
It is. It's a huge growth sector, particularly now with virtual reality, with artificial intelligence, and even the whole film industry. Ireland obviously is bucking the trends there and punching above its weight. And, you know, we certainly want the West of Ireland to get a slice of that.
And again, I suppose with some very bright students in from the various secondary schools in Tuam as well, maybe they should look at entering if they have set up something recently.
Yes, and in fact, there is a student category in this with a first prize of €1,000 cash, and that's sponsored by Action Tuam. So I certainly would call on any third level student to put in a marketing plan. They don't have to realise the business side, they may just have a concept there, or a group of students who want to come together and put an idea. But as you say, like the prize pot is quite significant. First prize is 20,000, and that's made up of 5,000 cash, 5,200 worth of hot desking facilities. We have sponsorship by Stapleton's Electric, by McDonald Walsh, with an accountancy package worth 2,500. TA O'Donoghue will give legal support for a year. You know, it's really a real wraparound support for new and emerging businesses.
Mm. I suppose when I talk about Tuam, I think of Joan Helen O'Toole, I think of Mary Larder and Super Value. But again, the legacy that in his passing and in both their passings, the legacies that have been left there with the community hospital and all the other wonderful facilities that have been put in place by that.
Yeah, the trust that he left behind, which is managed by I think it is his nephew or something, and Mary Lardner, they've done a huge amount of work. The community nursing home, the mental health facility, there's been a great legacy
huge
left by Joan.
Which again enhances Tuam as a place to do business.
Yeah, it's quite unusual. We see people coming back to Tuam, or maybe who are even seeing it for the first time, and they're quite astounded by the how much it has come on. That whole health quarter, you know, there was a tumour regeneration plan, and we're seeing the fruits of that coming into place now, and the whole regeneration of the town centre.
Yeah, and again, housing is there adequate housing in Tuam for people that want to come in there?
Is there adequate housing in Ireland? That was the question.
And when I saw you, you went very white there all of a sudden, seated on me.
Listen, it's a key issue across the board. And it is something that is certainly on the agenda for Action Tuam, 100%. As I said, we're looking at that strategic view around how to promote and encourage people into the creative industries and technologies. And one aspect of that, we're looking at the learning side, we're looking at the technology side, but we're also looking at the accommodation side.
Yeah.
Action Tuam is a social enterprise. It's a not-for-profit charity. And the whole, ethos there is to support the community and support business and support young people.
Yeah. Let's go back, though, to the Action Tuam Entrepreneur Competition again. The email address that they need to Sarah Rorty send it to?
The email address is info@actiontuam.com.
C-T-I-O-N, Tuam. .com for details there. Do they have to be from Tuam?
Within a 20-kilometre radius of Tuam and trading less than 5 years.
Okay, so I mean, you're talking about Achmoy, you're talking about that whole general area out to Dunmore, talking about swimming to Garafron, you're talking about coming in Milltown, so that's a fairly large area.
It's a large swathe, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I suppose Action Tuam really covers I would say North Galway and South Mayo would be the kind of area that we would support most people.
Would you support, you know, could a wannabe politician who's going for election from this side of the world, could he put an application in for something?
Well, you know what? He mightn't, but you might, Keith. Sure. You'll be a man of leisure now next week.
More than 20 miles away, unfortunately, from you. Yeah, I was just thinking he could do it for the poster, so he could really
raise a bit of money.
I'm jesting, really.
Ollie Turner, is it?
Yes, well done. Yeah. info@actiontuam.com for further details. Info@actiontuam.com for further details. words there. Some nice comments coming in there just about, it's lovely to hear some positive stories about Tuam. Some people try and bring us down, but we are a resilient bunch and we are going to stick with it. I love Tuam. I've been born here and I'm going to live here until the day that I die. Isn't that lovely?
Oh, that's very nice. Very nice to hear. And well
deserved. But every community in the country has some negativity, you know, but you have to get over that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we were looking for, the self-starters and the optimists.
Yeah, but I think more often than not, you go for the negative rather than the positive. Well, is it an Irish thing? I don't know. I don't know. Listen, well done to you. Thanks, DJ, for popping into us today. And again, if you want to get further details, you can do so. So it's info@actiontuam.com for further details. You can mark it for the attention of Sarah Rorty. Get it in before 5 o'clock
tomorrow.
5 o'clock tomorrow, and the gavel will fall and you won't be able to get in from there. Does it have to be a very comprehensive, they're shouting me in the headphones, does it have to be a very comprehensive application or a simple application?
It's a very simple application. It's what's your business idea, how are you going to market it, how are you going to distribute it, and who are your customers? It's very simple.
Okay, and there's no major science in that, no? So
no, not really.
Yeah, just get to do it. Sarah, thank you for joining
us
today. Other calls coming in to us today, Keith. Church property, Keith, you said belongs to the church and not to the parish. I'm not going there. I don't know, it was the Archbishop of Tuam that said that the church belongs to the parish, not Keith Finnegan, to be quite honest. That's who it was from there. And another call is coming in there. This caller said, I'm listening to you, Keith, currently in Dubai this morning, and a very good morning to you. Why do farmers have to take the Greenway and Glenlow Golf Club doesn't? Please answer, Mary. What are you talking about, Mary? Why do farmers have to take the Greenway and Glenlow Golf Club? Which is all part of it. But it's to try and maximise it coming up by the river, I would have thought, from there. Again, I'm not the engineer in all of that. And Keith, what about SACs and this proposed Greenway route? This Greenway has lots of questions to answer for owners and farmers as well. And nobody seems to want to answer them from there. Keith, I see this morning test holes being bored in the Dyke Road car park. What are the City Council planning now for the only open car park in the city? As far as I know, the bridge that I spoke to President Kieran O'Hogarth of University of Galway, that pedestrian bridge to go over the old railway line is starting in the Black Box Theatre car park. So it has to get the lift to get over the bridge from there. So as far as I know, that's maybe what there could be pile driving for, to do tests from there. But again, there's also a big plan there. No more than there is for Sandy Road, there's a huge plan for that whole area in the Black Box area and all of that. So I don't know why they're pile driving. And I can't explain to you why they're pile driving, to be honest. Anyway, let's head towards the Galway BFM News at 11 o'clock. And we're back just after that. We have loads more to come on the programme today, including indeed Culture Corner. We have the Galway Folk Festival coming into us there. We have some fabulous music coming the way as well from Mary Coughlin and Alton Conlon. Stay tuned for that and more to come.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road, a new way to car shop.